Hey, everybody, this is Eratoxica, and you're listening to the
Sleção Podcast.
Bem jogado por Simão. A passar por dois adversários, Simão. A tentar oferecer o gol a Figo. E a bola é gol! O gol da Figo!
Ricosta vai! Ricosta já acreditou! Vai tirar para o golo! Atira o golo! 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 Vai para o próprio Cristiano Ronaldo! Está jogado o Cristiano Ronaldo! Vai para o Cristiano Ronaldo!
Já passei a roupa velha, já passei o meu vestido. Amanhã vou me casar e o Manuel é o meu marido. Todos me querem, quero alguém, quero o meu amor, não quero mais ninguém. Todos me querem, quero alguém, quero o meu amor, não quero mais ninguém. Todos me querem, quero alguém, quero o meu amor, não quero mais ninguém.
We welcome you to this very special edition of the Seleção Podcast, a proud partner of Portugol.net. My name is Danny Pinto. I am your host. Thank you guys once again for tuning in and joining us on this episode. It's a special episode. It's going to be a little bit less football-centric, a little less soccer-centric on this episode, but we will get into all that in just a matter of moments. Just remember that we want you guys to subscribe to the podcast. By any way you would like to, we are available on Apple Podcast, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and TuneIn. And you can also head over, of course, to our brand new website, SeleçãoPod.com. You can get all your information in terms of our episodes, the latest goings on with the Seleção rosters and games coming up and everything. There we also have our links to all our social media pages, facebook.com/SeleçãoPod. On Twitter, you can follow us at SeleçãoPod. Also on Instagram at SeleçãoPod. If you want to shoot us an email, go ahead and send it to SeleçãoPod@gmail.com. All right, we got all the plugs out of the way. Again, this is a special episode of the show as... this past weekend, I attended a Portuguese festival with my wife, and the reason why this episode is happening is because I reached out to two of I would say the biggest entertainment groups going around the United States for Portuguese Americans, and those two groups, the comedy group of or the comedy troupe, I should say, of the Portuguese Kids, who have gone all over the world and toured, millions of downloads and views on YouTube, and of course, Facebook and Twitter, and just one of the bands that I just think is the epitome of mixing the American and Portuguese culture in just beautiful music and music that'll get your ass on the dance floor and rocking and everything. Eratoxica was kind enough to spend some time with me, it was a great experience with both of those groups. We'll get to those interviews in just a few moments, but let me give you guys just a quick rundown of the festival that we went to, my wife and I, and it was the first ever, and it was here in Northern California, in the Valley, in Turlock, California, but it was the first ever San Joaquin Valley Portuguese Festival, and I gotta say, it was a very, very impressive sight, as more than 15,000 people crossed the entrance lines and had themselves just a one heck of a time, and people from all over. I mean, I saw many friends from Southern California, shared a cerveja or two or six or seven. But I mean, again, when you count, there's no need to count anymore. But a lot of friends meeting up and having a good time celebrating our beautiful culture, and this place had everything. It was it was jam-packed because we had Portuguese vendors from up and down the state. We had Portuguese food. We had carnival rides for the kids and games for the kids. There were food trucks that came out. There were turkey legs. The size of a Disneyland-style turkey legs. I'll just leave you with that. And if you've been to Disneyland, you know what I mean. And the smell, just the sweet, sweet smell of those turkey legs. My God, Salivation Nation going on in Turlock. That was for sure. The festivities started with a parade. Philharmonicas and folklore groups, and there were Foz groups. There were bullfight demonstrations. All in all, just a tremendous, tremendous representation of our Portuguese culture in California, and it all ended with the Portuguese kids, with Aerotoxica and a band from Toronto called Starlight. They closed it out, and then it was sitting around the bars and just regaling in stories and just catching up with folks that we hadn't seen in a while, old friends, making new friends. It was just a great, great weekend, and the Carlos Vieira Foundation, along with the Portuguese Fraternal Society of America (PFSA), they put on this huge festival, and it was all to benefit the race for autism, which is just a tremendous cause. And again, 15,000 people coming out, not only for the great entertainment and the great day of celebrating our culture, but again to raise awareness and to give money to just a tremendous cause that so many people deal with on a day-to-day basis, and any help and any assistance towards that cause to me is a beautiful, beautiful thing. So it was a great day out if you had little ones. My wife and I decided not to take our little ones because we wanted to make a weekend out of it, so that Mung and Pai could enjoy themselves a few adult beverages after business was taken care of, and that we did. It was a good time. It was a tremendous time. Like I said, having a few cold ones, enjoying some great entertainment, some great music, and just a great event out in Turlock. So let's get to the first interview, and we're gonna start off with the Portuguese kids. If you don't know who these guys are, first of all, get on social media because they're everywhere. But they're based in Massachusetts. They started this their comedy troupe back in 2004. As I mentioned, they've been out to California so many times, and the guys will talk about it a little bit. But California, they're going to be in a brand new city, which they will tell you about in the interview as well, coming up in June. But they've gone all over the states. They've been in all over Canada. They've been to the Azores. They've done cruises, and they've been to Australia numerous times. So they have toured and toured and toured, and they're just, to me, a great representation of what it is to honestly have fun in our culture. It's so, this world is so full of just ugliness and sadness sometimes, that sometimes we just have to remember to not take ourselves so seriously and just laugh and have a good time. And I think these guys do a great, great job of that. So without further ado, here are the Portuguese kids on a very special edition of the Seleção Podcast.
This is Al Sardinha.
And this is Brian Martins.
And you guys are listening to the Seleção Podcast.
Cachaça, have some more cachaça. Help your achy back, bitch. Says I'm out of the pasta.
It's almost time to leave, and I really can't believe it. Gotta get ready to fesh to all weekend.
Go, go. Dash par cinco. Almost out of work, it's dash par cinco. Get right to the club and have a drink. I can't wait to hang out with my amigos.
Go, go. All right, guys, we are here at the San Joaquin Portuguese Festival here, put on by Carlos Vieira Foundation for the race for autism. It's a great event, star-studded, and you guys will know why by my next guest here. As individually, they're Brian Martins and Al Sardinha, and Derek Mello's back there somewhere hawking T-shirts and linguiça, but collectively, they're known as the Portuguese Kids, and guys, it's... We're so glad to have you on this special edition of the Celeste Song Podcast.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for having us, man. We're happy to be here.
How is it to be back in California?
Oh, man. Well, first off, the weather is perfect. Although it is warming up back in the East Coast, there is a little bit of rain. Sorry, babe, if you're hearing this. My wife's back there in the rain. But weather is perfect. I mean, the environment here is just super positive. We're so happy to be here at the Festa. And it's just, you know, what an amazing time. Seriously, what an amazing time.
I mean, you guys have made California one of your main stops.
This is since, the second home for us.
Yeah, since you guys have started. But yeah, I saw you guys, I think, maybe the first time you guys were out here. I think maybe Fremont or something like that. But
Fremont, wow.
But yeah. It's been, I mean, you guys have been going on now, what, 7-8 years just coming out here multiple times a year.
Multiple times, yeah. We've been together as a group over 15 years.
Okay.
But traveling, yeah, that sounds about right. About the past 8-9
yeah,
years.
Yeah, I think we came out, 08, 09, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, for that's just
the,
about right.
Day of Portugal down in San Jose.
And nice.
It was amazing. We had no idea that there were this many Portuguese people out in the state.
I have to say, California and Canada are like neck and neck as our second home. So, like, you know, we're keeping you guys.
We got them on weather, though.
You got them on weather. Yeah.
If you want snow,
sure.
Fika la.
Yeah, go to Canada.
Yeah, for sure. Well,
you guys got nothing. I mean, you don't have polar bears, so, I mean, come on.
At our zoos, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, we import those guys in. We're talking with Brian and Al from the Portuguese Kids here on this special edition of the Celeste Song Podcast. Well, guys, you know, you've been around for 15 years. How did it all come together? How did it start?
Long story short, the magic was in the stars. I think just everything kind of lined up and worked out in a way that I think we always felt we knew that we wanted to do something like this, that we this as a group, we always knew we would be performers, and it's always been in our blood. So even as youngsters, as kids, just for fun, we always created material and created characters and kind of played with this idea of being these funny Portuguese kids, and we always kind of carry that persona, friends, family, wherever we went. When we were together as a group, that's how people saw us, like those funny guys.
Sure.
But really, I think the seeds of where the group came from, we used to do a public access television show.
Nice.
Oh my God.
And this is going back to when VHS
Wayne's World
was still
Thankfully,
a thing.
Thankfully, the footage is gone. It's buried out on the
somewhere. It's there.
We shot it out into space.
It's out there somewhere.
Experimental.
It's halfway to that black hole at this point. But, yeah, so we used to, like, just mess around at home, you know, with a home video camera and just trying to be silly and funny. And there's nothing about that material that I think we could ever show and have people laugh. But even still, going that far back, one of the things that we focused on was making fun of our parents.
Sure.
And so those are kind of the seeds of where the group started. But it really, we didn't become an actual performing comedy group until 04. It was the first time we ever put on a real live stage show. Yeah. And that came about after we had all attended and were a part of a training center in Boston called the Improv Asylum. And that's really where we learned the skills that we use on stage, our improv skills and writing and acting.
Writing sketches.
It came from that experience of being part of that theater.
And then just from there, we were putting videos up on YouTube, and it was Portuguese and I Know It. Once that video went up online, we saw this boost in views, and then just the comments from the Portuguese community outside of our area, because growing up in Fall River, we are oversaturated with Portuguese people.
You pronounced it incorrectly. Isn't it Fall-Riva?
Fall-Riva. That's the right way to say it. But we started getting messages from people in California, come out, do shows here, Canada, Australia. I mean, it was just these Portuguese communities everywhere, like, hitting us up, and we're like, whoa, wait a minute. There's something going on here.
Yeah, when did that moment happen for you guys where you thought that there was something outside of
it was the
East Coast, outside
of... You know, we had some videos up, like, Portuguese people said, went up there and it hit like 200.
Can we say
views.
Is that okay?
Well, you said it three times now, so we'll bleep it out. Don't worry about it.
But it was Portuguese and I Know It. That video went up and hit 500,000 views in like 2 days, and then 1 million views in like
in the
five
week.
Days.
Yeah, can I brag a little bit about you guys in terms of numbers? So that's a good answer. So on Twitter, at PortKids, you guys have 14,000 followers there, just over 14,000. On Instagram, which is at the Portuguese Kids, and by the way, we now have a soundtrack for this interview, which makes this even better, right?
It's good ambiance.
On Instagram, you guys have almost 68,000 followers on Instagram. Mm-hmm. On Facebook, 237,000 likes or followers on your Facebook page. 49,000 subscribers on your YouTube channel, and over about 16 million views on your your page.
I mean,
so,
wild.
Yeah, I mean, there has to be somewhat humbling.
It is. Yeah, that's the perfect word. It is humbling. We appreciate the love and the feedback we get from the community, and it just inspires us to keep going and keep putting material out, because it's just, I don't know, we just feed off the energy.
I think it's a testament to the web of Portuguese people that are, you know, globally. It's insane how far we reach and how many different places in the world we encompass. But Portuguese people, we've always heard it said, there are more Portuguese people in the world than there are in Portugal.
Sure,
and, true.
And we all have that identity, and we hold on to it, and we celebrate it through a lot of different ways, whether it be music or food or traditions, and in our case, through comedy.
Absolutely.
And so we're very lucky and fortunate that we have a presence online, YouTube, Facebook, and all the social media that web is connected to. So it's pretty awesome to have that many people follow us.
And just so everyone knows, our MySpace account has 30 followers.
30.
So
it used to, but remember, it got hacked like about a month ago.
That's true. It went down.
we're talking with Al and
But pre-hack, we had 25 followers.
Well, there you go.
We'll take
there
the extra
go.
Five.
We're talking with Brian and Al from the Portuguese Kids here on a special episode of the Celestone Podcast. Are you guys full-time Portuguese Kids? Is this what you guys do now?
This is our full-time gig.
Yes. What
were you guys doing before?
I was working in a group home, and I was a manager there for many years. Derek was working at a bank. He was a manager at a local Bank of America. And Al was also working at the same group home that I was at. We were there for, 10 plus years, working there and traveling and doing the shows. And then eventually the traveling became so frequent that we just couldn't keep taking time off from work. And we just had to take that risk and say, hey, let's put our full effort, full 100% into this and make it a full-time job and make something of it. And we've been doing it now for the past, it's going to be 6 years this year, Al?
Six years.
As full-time.
Yeah. Full-time, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. You guys have been so lucky and fortunate enough to travel so many different places. I believe, Australia a few times?
Australia, mm-hmm. Three times I've been there, yeah.
And,
the last 3 years,
coming out to California as many times as you guys do.
We just booked a show in June in Dallas, Texas.
Oh, at the Canyon Creek County Club
Canyon
in
Creek
Dallas,
County
Texas.
Club, that's correct.
Go to eventbrite.com. Tickets start at $18.
That's
See, guys,
right.
I do a little prep.
They're available through our website, PortugueseKids.com. I'm really easy to remember, PortugueseKids.com.
And with the analytics that I can find with my podcast, I know that less than 1% of my listening audience is in Texas. Okay. But those of you in Houston, make the trek to Dallas to go see the Portuguese Kids.
We know you're there.
This is obviously a Celestone podcast. How closely do you guys follow the Celestone?
Not as much as we should.
It's a little tough. I mean,
you guys are so busy traveling and stuff.
Soccer is in our blood, so we're never very far away from it. But I do a good lot impression.
Oh yeah, please.
Yeah, which is basically I mumble a lot.
Oh, well, I mean that's like half of the language
that's
anyway.
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
You know, that's half of the language anyway. You guys have like growing up. Do you guys have like a favorite player or favorite team?
Oh gosh,
João Pinto. Yeah, for
my
sure,
man.
Dude. I grew my hair out because of that dude.
But, you know, it's funny because everyone always asks like, who's your team? And growing up, we were just grandfathered into whatever our dads were. So my dad was, always a Sporting. So I grew up Sportingista. I was Benfica. But even now, we're past.
So you barely needed a third of my listening audience by not being a Portista. Okay, I got you.
Our other sound guys are Portista.
There we go. We've covered all the bases.
Yeah, so we got that covered. But, with all the traveling and just we're so busy, it's hard to just keep up with a lot of the games that are out there.
Sure.
But we do understand and recognize that soccer is a big part of the culture.
Absolutely.
We're big supporters of the national team. We love what they've done. In our generation, I think we're one of the luckiest generations to have grown up watching some of these incredible plays. We got Pauleta, who represents São Miguel, which we're most of us in the group are from. And then, obviously, you got Ronaldo. He's a phenom. And
he's got the frosted tips, so it's game time. When he gets his the noodle tips going.
Tips, yeah. Tips, folks. He said tips.
T-I-P-S, folks.
So it's cool. You know, like in our lifetime, growing, even as, you know, being younger through our teenage years and now into adulthood, we've watched his entire career. And it's pretty incredible because there's nobody else in the world like that guy.
No, not at all.
On the pitch, there's no one touches him. So it's pretty awesome, man. He, for him to be on that level globally to represent Portuguese people in the sports world, the greatest, the most popular sport in the world, and he's the greatest doing it.
Sure.
That's pretty awesome.
Guys, being from back east, we do have a very good following in the New England area. Mm-hmm. Where is the best place to watch a Seleção game, in your opinion? Is it the halls? Is it some tavernas?
Look,
is it Davos House?
It's probably in Summerhead.
You could toss a rock in any direction and hit a Portuguese club, a Portuguese hall, and a Navo. Like, it's just...
You're Davos at the club.
The Davos are at the club. Yeah. With a bottle full of bub.
I'd probably say at my Padrinho's house. any one of my uncle's houses.
Nice.
Because they'll literally tear the place apart if the
it gets
team
so
is losing.
Loud and vicious.
It's so much fun to watch them.
My team,
like,
Mario,
shirts are coming off when they're watching
Mario
them.
My team, Mario and Tio Gil, get into some of the most aggressive arguments. Like, you would think they were fighting, but they're just so passionate about talking about their teams that it scares everyone around them. Like, my wife's half Portuguese and half Irish. She didn't really grow up as Portuguese as I did, but sometimes she gets in there and she's seeing it. She's like, oh, my God, what's going down? Like, no, babe. This is normal talk right now. Just stay away. Don't say anything. Just stay away.
Well, before I let you guys go, I mean, Derek's over there. He's selling stuff.
Yeah.
What? Do you guys really like him? Well, give me something that Derek doesn't want the public to know.
Oh, God. I mean, he wears an adult diaper to bed.
Yeah.
We'll take it. We'll take it. Guys, you can follow the Portuguese Kids in the following areas. You can follow the guys right here on Twitter, at Port Kids, at the Portuguese Kids on Instagram. Facebook.com, go and search Portuguese Kids. They have a YouTube channel. Go to their website, PortugueseKids.com.
Right.
And obviously, you guys have your shop,
ShopPortuguese.com.
You guys have awesome T-shirts. You guys also sell Linguiça and Chouriço. Is that right?
Yes,
we do.
Natas.
Whoa.
World famous.
Quijadas,
you guys didn't by chance bring any of those, did you?
No, unfortunately.
All right,
no.
We have to end the interview.
They're a frozen item. They're fresh. Yeah. They're... We priority deliver them free shipping anywhere in the United States.
Like maybe to a podcast?
Yes, definitely to a podcast.
Oh, right.
And anyone out there visiting the East Coast, I play in an over 30 soccer league. So if you want to come down and get smoked by a couple of guys smelling like Ben Gay, let's do this.
Yeah, we're going to have to.
Aging,
you know, I'll head out there,
at the knees.
I'll head out there and interview you guys. Absolutely. Brian, now, thank you guys so much.
Thanks.
I appreciate you guys taking the time. You guys are obviously super busy with your... You're staying here. The best of luck to you guys. And again, June 8th is it'll be the first time in Texas for you guys.
First time in Texas.
Dallas, Texas, June 8th, Canyon Creek Country Club. Go to eventbrite.com or the Portuguese Kids, or excuse me, PortugueseKids.com. Mm-hmm. Tickets start at $18. You guys are just awesome to take some time and join us on the Seleção podcast. And all the best of luck to you guys and safe travels.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
And a big obrigado to Brian and Al for joining us on the Seleção podcast, the Portuguese Kids. Coming to a town near you, again, they had announced their first ever show in Texas. They're going to be in Dallas in June. Go to PortugueseKids.com for all touring and information that your heart desires about the Portuguese Kids. A big thanks to Derek Mello, who wasn't able to join us in the interview because, He was doing his thing, man, selling T-shirts, selling onesies, selling glasses, selling linguiça and chouriço, pretty much making as many bucks as he can for his comedy troupe. And he could not have been any nicer. He was my contact for the Portuguese Kids when I first decided to see if I can get these guys on the show. And he was just awesome to deal with. And all three of those guys were an absolute 10. Just great guys, and it made my wife and I feel like a million bucks talking with them. Very down to earth, as you guys can hear in the interview, and I think they're, if anything, they are as appreciative as anything on this journey that they have taken, especially since they have gone full time, being full time Portuguese Kids, if you will. But they just are a great representation for me. of just, you know, being, having fun in our culture. And as I mentioned before, not taking yourself too seriously, allow yourself to laugh, allow yourself to, you know, just, you know, remember what it was to hang out with your aval or hang out with your dad, especially if, you know, you're first, second generation. I'm first generation. A lot of the things that they have done, I have heard either in my household or at my aval's house. So, again, my thanks to them for coming on the show. Again, PortugueseKids.com for all information Portuguese kids related. So next up we have, and again, if you guys have heard this show before, my voice is right now not at its greatest quality. And my next guests are like 116% to blame. You know what? I'm not going to give them the full 100 because allergy season has hit Northern California, and I was dealing with that prior to the festival. But I would say the majority of the reason why my voice is not as in tip-top shape in this episode is because of my next guests. These guys, again, from New England, 6 albums, 2 live DVDs. They've toured everywhere. They've also performed on the IPMAs, which is the International Portuguese Music Awards. But man, let me tell you, after this interview, and I had seen Aerotoxica before, almost 6 years ago now. It was the first time I had seen them live. I had heard them, but until you hear them live, there's nothing like it, man, and it is an experience. Whether they are rocking out to their own original music or just doing amazing covers of songs and of artists, it is just something to behold, and it is a good time, man. These guys know how to party. I saw firsthand. I experienced a little bit of that. But again, just another great representation of just what it is to have fun in our Portuguese culture. So there's been a lot of music, or there has been some music, I should say, on this episode of the Seleção podcast. More music than we've had in previous episodes. But now I'm just going to go back to my radio days, and I'm just going to go ahead and talk up this record. As Aerotoxica, they've put out 6 albums, 2 live DVDs. Go to aerotoxica.com for all information about the group. And here is an original, O Romper da Madrugada, right here on the Seleção podcast. We are at the San Joaquin Valley Portuguese Festival. Just a bunch of Portuguese people having a good time this weekend. It's the first annual festival for Autism Speaks, a great charity that hopefully we're raising a lot of money for this weekend. And one of the headliners of this show is a band that really needs no introduction, but I will give them one. They are Bethany, Zach, Chris, Sergio, and Mike. They are better known as Aerotoxica. Guys, thank you so much for coming on the Seleção podcast. Really appreciate your time, and welcome back to Cali.
Thanks for having us. We're so excited to be here.
Thank you.
How was the trip?
Very nice. Long.
It was nice. We drove halfway, then we took a horse, and when we got to Turlock, we
thumbed it the rest of the way.
Mike's mom dropped us at the airport, so
shout out.
Yeah, Mike.
Concession mellow.
What's up?
Thanks for the ride. That's hold fantastic. On to my skateboard.
That's fantastic. You guys have definitely played out here a few times. You guys were just out here a few months back, but what's it like to be back in California and performing again?
We love being out here. We've made some really great friends, some that we consider like family. We have a great following out here, so it's always nice to come back out west and feel like it's home away from home.
Yeah, excellent. It's one of those things that I know that we have a group of friends that just, I mean, we love you guys. So anytime that you guys are out here, we definitely want to make it, you know, an appointment to come out here and make sure that we rock out with you guys as much as possible.
Thanks. That makes us feel
good. It's just nice when the weatherman says it's going to be sunny and beautiful. It is.
How is the weather back east when you guys left?
It's not too bad. 50s.
Today's supposed to be 70.
That's sunny. Not too bad.
No, but it's raining.
Supposed to be 70. Is it raining?
70 and raining. Not like 70 here.
And beautiful sunshine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, guys, obviously the first question for me is, how did Aerotoxica become Aerotoxica? What's the origin story?
Take it away, Serge.
Mike's better at this one.
So back 18 years ago, almost 18 years ago, me, Sergio, Zach, and Chris, and we were playing in probably like five different projects, and Bethany was in one of them. So we used to do a lot of freelance. So one day we decided to, put a band together. So we called up Bethany, and she said yes, and the rest is history.
She said yes to the mess.
our original name was not Aerotoxica.
No. Originally, we were called Climax.
Climax, the band, yeah.
The band.
Why? So why the change?
Because when we went in for our first album and we recorded it, our lawyers said that's not a good idea. So we had to change.
Portuguese people don't like Climax.
So we had an album recorded, ready to go, and no band name.
So we did the cliche let's name the band competition, and that wasn't working out so well.
What were some of the entries? Do you guys remember?
Dude, I remember one that kept sticking because it was around the time of Desert, not Desert Song, but it was Tropa was a bit. I was like, oh shit, dude. Somebody, we're gonna be named Tropa, dude. This is not. That was one of the big. Everybody's like, I'm like, eh. And then this Aerotoxica name was like second name that was come up at practice, and we kind of skimmed right over it. Then we went around like every practice, dude. It was the first half hour. I was like, nope, this name. Ooh, I don't like it.
We kind of needed a name that would work in the American and the Portuguese scene. So I think Sergio came up with that name and.
Like and a it, toxic era
yeah,
in time.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, so, the world, terrorism. We were basically formed right after September 11th.
Okay.
So we're all in that kind of like gloomy
sure.
time set. You know what I mean? So
yeah, the whole country
jeez,
was.
Jeez, you guys sound so doom and gloom right now.
That's okay.
We're from Seattle originally, dude.
Rains every day. Mike, you were saying how you wanted something that was Portuguese and English or American related.
Yeah.
You guys do a lot of original songs. You guys do a lot of covers from both languages.
Yes.
How do you guys figure out the balance between the two?
So I think the balance is pretty much we have the material and we have a basic set list and we just feel out the crowd, you know, if it's a crowd, if we see it's, you know, whatever's working at the time because every show's different, you know?
Sure.
So, I think one of the things that we make sure we do is we pick songs that we enjoy playing, that we love. And I think when you enjoy something and you love it so passionately, your fans are going to like it just as much. So
sure.
I think when we go down a set list and we bring songs, bring different ideas, that's what we kind of go for. Like, do we like this? Is this something that we are passionate about? So
nice. We're talking with Aerotoxica at the San Joaquin Valley Portuguese Festival. This is a special edition of the Seleção Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Pinto. You guys were talking about, you know, crowd feel and everything. I want to ask you guys to pick like your favorite original because I'm sure it's like picking, you know, your children.
It's different. I think we all have different ones.
Sure.
I think one of my favorite originals is Acontecer.
Okay.
And but these guys.
Yeah, that starts out like hits you right in the face.
Yeah, I think I'd have to say that's one of my best ones too. That and Canhas 2 are two of my favorite original songs that we do.
What about in terms of covers? Which is the one that, if you guys are feeling the crowd, which is the one that you guys know is going to get the crowd going? Because I know the one that I like when I heard you guys down in Artesia, but I'll let you guys.
I enjoy Shoots because
of course
some people don't even know Shoots yet. So when we do a Shootsy Punta Pash cover,
it's our cover.
Yeah, a lot. Sometimes we play. We do gigs that they're like, oh my god! And I was like, oh no, it's not our tune, you know. But you know, we put our spin on it.
Sure, of course.
We enjoy playing it. But that one always, it doesn't matter, dude. Portuguese or not, people feel those tunes, you know.
And we find that even our Portuguese covers, because we've made them kind of our own, that even, you know, like our American friends and everybody can relate to them. They don't understand what we're saying, but they rock out to them. We have a lot of non-speaking Portuguese people that just love our Portuguese music, because we took both our cultures, which is, you know, the American culture and the Portuguese culture, we took it and we merged it and we made, we like to think that we created our sound, and
sure,
and that's what it is. Right from the beginning, our goal, I think, with this band was to have a band that we can invite our American friends to come out and see us at a Portuguese festival and, you know, and make it happen.
I need a tissue, man.
I think one of the covers that really gets the crowd pumping, another one is, and I love this song too, is Amanhã de Manhã by Dulce.
Sure.
That's a song that usually gets the crowd
on the Portuguese
pumping
side.
And singing on the Portuguese side, yeah.
Yeah, for me, I had heard of you guys for years, and then going to see you guys down in Artesia for the first time, you guys were rocking out. But as soon as I heard you guys do the cover of Poeta, I was like, all right, this is it.
That's another big one.
So I'm not telling you guys to play it tonight, but please play it tonight for me.
That's right? Actually Chris's favorite.
We got you.
Is it
brought
really?
It into the band.
He's part Brazilian.
Yeah, he brought it in.
Oh, meu. Então.
We have street Brazilian street creds too.
Yeah, so you guys are hitting all over the Chris, all
Chris
over the
brought
continent.
In his Walkman. He brought his Walkman in, and he's like, dude, you gotta hear this cassette.
Like, all right, cassette.
Okay, he's pulling the race card because he's got nothing else right now. You know? That's the way it works in this band. You know?
Now it was the yellow Walkman, right?
Yeah,
the old school one.
No, never yellow.
He was in Chris's time. I think they did sound. What do you call those 8-tracks?
Oh, nice.
Oh, I love 8-tracks.
No, they did those tablatures.
So they don't have they didn't have Walkmans. Yeah.
The Mayans and stuff.
There are no Walkmans for 8-tracks.
That's all. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No,
where you had to actually,
I
like, you know,
8-track. 8-track was the best.
The reel to reel is a good call. You had to do it. You had to slice it up with
the
razors.
Blade. Oh,
absolutely,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
That's old school radio right there too. Wow, so yeah, absolutely.
That's great.
We're talking with Eric Tosca here on the Celeste Sound Podcast. For you guys, what was the time? What was the moment that you guys felt that like you guys had something like really good, like recognizably around the country and in Canada and Portugal good?
Last night.
Finally, huh?
Second beer at that bar. We're like, dude, I think we've arrived.
It happened in Turlock. That's unbelievable.
It all happened here.
Yeah, absolutely.
You had me at Quesadilla.
I think as soon as we started like getting our stuff together and really jamming and getting the music down, I felt that while we have something that is great and that hopefully is going to last a long time, and we've been together almost 18 years, so I think that we were right.
We've always been a band that's been against the grain, you know. When we first started, we were playing this crazy music and all the older generation didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
But today back home we probably have like 15 bands or so in the area that play Portuguese music, and the majority of them play rock and roll now.
Oh, wow.
Everyone wants to play rock and roll. Everybody's a rock star. Everybody's doing all these things.
I think it's just that thing of change, you know, so everybody's always afraid of change. It's like, oh, you're going to do that? Oh, I don't think that's a good idea. That's not going to work. And, you know, we stuck to our guns and we stuck to what we loved, and it ended up working out. So
our sound, yeah.
I think we've broken down some barriers. You know, it was tough at the beginning, but
yeah. We still do the Portuguese stuff.
Sure.
The popular stuff and the bilingues and all that, you know, depending on the event, we could twist it up and do all Portuguese all night.
Which is great because it's part of what brought up with. I was brought up with the marchinhas, the bilingues, and it's stuff that I love, and I love going to a festa and hearing that. So we incorporate that in our sets. If we do a concert, type of show. Setup. It's a different set. If we're at a feast and we want to get the people pumping and dancing with us, you know, we incorporate all that stuff into the show.
And on the flip side, if we do travel to Europe, like Portugal or Azores, believe it or not, they want more Americans.
Of course.
Do, you know, so.
Yeah, absolutely. And what, and we probably wanted to hear more Portuguese here because of, you know, because of, yeah, of influences like Schutz and the Brazilian type stuff too. So just to give you guys a heads up on when you can see Eratoxica in the future, June 7th at the Phillips Street Hall Festival in Providence, Rhode Island, June 15th at the Spielsun Festa in Attleboro, Massachusetts. Obviously, you guys can check out Eratoxica.com for all their information in terms of tour dates, and go on Facebook.com, check out their Facebook page, and Twitter.com/Eratoxica. No Instagram for you guys. Is that right?
I have an Instagram that kind of gets bumped in with theirs, but I don't do a lot.
I got to work on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, Zach, yeah. What the hell?
Yeah, Zach, it sounds like you don't do enough, man.
He's slacking.
We used to have a MySpace. We used to have.
So did everybody. You know,
or a high five. You know,
it's so funny. I interviewed the Portuguese kids earlier today, and they mentioned MySpace too. So
mine's, you guys, mine's where it all started.
You guys obviously back east. You guys are still hanging on to MySpace some way.
No, we're not. But we're like, there's a lot of stuff hanging there in the limbo. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Ooh, I better delete that stuff.
Believe it or not, the MySpaces and stuff, all that stuff helped us a lot throughout our career.
Well, yeah, you could have posted all your music on there.
18 years ago, yeah. I mean, there was no Facebook, you know, so we had to do it on something.
A lot of mailings, a lot of sample CD mailings and whatnot.
Postcards,
all kinds of
really helped with the restraining order too. wait,
what? We'll keep that in. Don't worry about that.
We started 2001-11-02, and it's gonna be 18 years in January.
Damn, that's a long time to be dealing with these guys.
So if we had a kid, he'd be going to college right now.
And, yeah,
he'd be graduating high school.
Smoking cigarettes and voting, right?
Yeah, rock and roll.
And it's still all the same members except for Chris. Chris joined us about 10 years ago.
11 years ago?
It's 12 years.
Give this guy a mic. Give him a mic.
Yeah, hold on.
Zach, it's 12 years.
12 years.
Thank you.
Yeah, Chris, we've known Chris for, you know, 30 years or so. Playing in all kinds of projects with him.
Yeah.
He's played with like bands that we would look up to, like Love Street and Centrefold.
Again, his age comes into play here. We looked up to you, Chris, growing up.
You had a problem with age.
I think we still look up to Chris. He's taller than all of us.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, literally, that is true, right? Yeah. He's the tallest one here, yeah.
He is.
I have heels on today.
Attaboy.
Chris, tell us how you feel about the band.
How do I feel about the band?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
You have a review coming up, by the way.
The contract.
Are you in a contract year, Chris?
It's a day-to-day contract.
A day-to-day?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, aren't we all day-to-day, right?
Absolutely. We're all temporary.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're listening to a special edition of the Celeste Sound Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Pinto. We are joined by the amazing band from New England, Eratoxica. Before we recorded, or started the recording, I should say, you guys were saying that your Celeste Sound knowledge isn't great, but you guys do know, if there are folks that are living back east, and we have a good rapport with the East Coast on the podcast. Where do you guys know where the best salons are to go watch a game? Is it a hall? Is it a taverna?
So I gotta say that on the East Coast,
Jessabia, here
it's
comes.
Not so much like it is here, like. You guys have a lot of, like, I've noticed that when we come to California, we see like a lot of the groups go to the local clubs to watch the club. A lot of the younger kids back east, they don't do that stuff. Like, they get together at buddy's house and they'll stream it there, or, you know. So that's something that I admire in the West Coast, the youth, the Portuguese youth, is that they embrace their culture so much more. And I think like things like that, like getting together, going to a club and watching games and...
Well, I think it also has to do with the fact that we're spoiled and there's like a Portuguese function or there's a Portuguese club or a social club on pretty much every corner.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yep.
You know, where, and it's like, so.
I'm going to give a shout out to CRCP, Clube Recreativo Cultural Português de Warren, which is where I'm from.
Warren!
Warren, Rhode Island.
Warren.
Warren.
Warren, yeah.
You can watch this last sound there if you'd like.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
But they do have like Casas do Benfica and all that stuff.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the major Portuguese clubs show all the games and stuff. And you can walk in for free and you know, watch the games and stuff.
So so you guys, obviously you're not into this lesson as much as you probably would like to, but what we're looking at, 2.5 years, almost 3 years ago when Portugal did win the Euro. I know it had to be crazy town.
Yeah. Crazy.
As the team continued to progress throughout the tournament and then eventually won.
Was massive.
Actually, weren't we in Jersey? We were.
We were playing.
We were in our t-shirt.
Were we?
Yeah. Back. Rewind.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it was huge back home. I mean, like parades and people hanging out of their cars, waving their Portuguese flags down the main drags and stuff. It was big.
And awesome. It's the hustle and bustle of life too. Like, you know, most of us have day jobs anyway. So, you know, you're doing your job like,
don't tell them that. They think we're superstars.
You gotta find a way to sneak.
I'll edit that out. Don't worry.
I work at an ice cream shop. And I make tacos on the side.
And, he has his own little food truck.
No, I'm just kidding.
I would eat all the profits.
Yeah.
that's nice.
But, you know, it's like the games sometimes.
We've been hanging out a lot, right?
Games at least 18 years, right?
Games are at 10 in the morning or 1 in the afternoon. So, trust me, if we can find a way, we'll sneak out and have a beer with some buddies. And that's the thing, dude. Like, on the East Coast, like, Cambridge has Portuguese people. I mean, you name it. Every town has a touch of Portuguese. I don't know. California is a little more spread out, I think.
Yeah. Just in terms of state size, it's you know, like Sacramento used to have a like a Portuguese bakery. That went out of business. Yeah. But you know, it's like San Jose, you guys have been out there before probably, and throughout the valley, there are the clubs, there are the halls, but because everything is so jam-packed back east, it's probably easier to just either, if it's not here, it's there, and it's like 5 minutes away. Whereas for
us, it's a long ride for you guys.
Yeah, for us, it's like an hour and a half, 2 hours, and two hours.
We've driven through 3 states already.
And yeah,
unfortunately, with social media, it's like even if you don't watch the game, you're gonna hear about it.
Absolutely,
somebody's gonna spoil it for you.
The days of guys, I don't want to hear about it.
It's recorded at home.
Yeah, está gravado. Yeah, so yeah, we're finishing up here with Aratoxka. Guys, obviously, we mentioned the upcoming events in June. You guys have some, I think, in July as well. But is there anything studio-wise you guys are working on, or any other like tour in the latter part of this year or 2020?
Possibly the end of this year, we might jump into the studio.
Yeah, I think it's time to get back and do maybe at least one single or two songs.
We just learned 3 more chords, so we're like so pumped.
We actually also brought our sound Richie
in the house. And say hi, Richie.
Hey everybody, how's it going?
Hey, there's Richie.
And he's our studio engineer as well. He recorded our last 2 songs for Aratoxka 15.
Very talented musician, so we're happy to have him on our crew.
That's great.
Oh, look at that.
Well, you know, hey, you know, Bethany, if you don't mind, if you pass the mic to Richie. Richie, how is it to work with these guys? They're not too much trouble, are they?
No, they're a ball of fun. Yeah, they love the Johnny Walker, which is awesome.
Well, who doesn't like Johnny Walker? Right?
I've never been called ball.
She's a fireball girl.
Fireball? Right on. Guys, you can check out Aratoxka and get all their information regarding music, tours, bios, everything at aratoxka.com. Go on Facebook.com, search Aratoxka. You will get to their page there. Twitter.com, Aratoxka. Zach is going to work on the Instagram.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And we'll give you an update on that in future episodes. Obviously, by the time you hear this, they've already played here in Turlock. They were okay. They were
really?
They were all right. They were okay.
When Bethany fell off the stage, it was
tragic, right?
Yeah. We're also on Spotify, too. So if you want to hear any of our music, you can go to Spotify. And what else are we on?
You guys are on iTunes, Spotify.
Spotify.
I think there's some YouTube stuff.
YouTube.
WJFD. I don't know. No.
We're on AOL. We're on AOL.
You guys are on IM?
Okay.
Right on. Instant Messenger.
Instant Messenger.
June 7th, Phillips Street Hall Festival in Providence. Spiritsunfeste on June 15th in Attleboro, Massachusetts. Bethany, Chris, Sergio, Zach, Mike, thank you guys so much for your time.
Thanks for having us.
I
know you guys had sound check and you guys are getting ready for tonight. So, again, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
Wow. I apologize for how boring Aratoxka was. I'm just kidding. Those guys were amazing, and they could not have been any nicer to my wife and I. Again, that's like the theme of these interviews is that how accommodating both the Portuguese Kids and Aerotoxica were to my wife Suzette and I, and then with Aerotoxica it was just something that it seemed to get comfortable the interview right away, and it seemed to just instead of being an interview, it was a conversation, and that's something that I just could not have expected to go any better, to be quite honest with you. Again, I've seen them before. I met them briefly the one time that I saw them down in Southern California in Artesia, but they don't know me from Adam. Going, question after question, conversation after conversation, you could see a rapport was being built there, and I appreciated that so much, and I hope they did too, because it felt to me that they were having a good time in the interview, and of course that makes me feel like I'm not wasting their time, and obviously I'm not wasting the listeners' time here on the Sless On podcast. I thought they were just awesome to hang out with. Quick story. I do send with interviews. I do send sometimes some questions just so that my guests know what's coming their way, so that they can prepare themselves. And there was a question that I forgot to ask the group, which was who was a player other than Ronaldo, who was a player, past or present, that you guys loved. And Bethany pulled me aside after the interview, and she said, "Listen, I was waiting to answer your player question, and I was ready to say Juan Pinto." And I'm like, okay, I profusely apologized, of course, because, when you're the lead singer of Aerotoxica and stuff doesn't go your way, I'm assuming that it doesn't go well for the person that caused that riff. But she was, she was just, again, so nice and just, but she came to me, she's like, I was ready to tell you about Juan Pinto. And I'm like, well, I love to plug everything back in, but I just don't have the time, and you guys got to get ready. So but again, it was great. And their drummer Mike, as soon as the interview was over, he comes up to me, and there's just a big almost like a gallon size thermos full of ice and let's see, what was it, because I drink, so, oh yeah, and Johnny Walker. And I took a rock and roll swig of Johnny Walker with Aerotoxica, and it was awesome. One of the best Johnny Walker shots that I've had in a long, long time. So again, can't thank those guys enough for being so great. And again, go to aerotoxica.com, go to their Facebook page, twitter.com/aerotoxica for all tour dates and band info. And I can't thank Zach enough too. He was the contact for Aerotoxica that I reached out to, and it was like a day after I sent the request in, boom, let's do it. Yeah, he sent me the catalog, a catalog of their music, which I was very appreciative of, and yeah, just again, the thing that I took away from this weekend, from both the Portuguese Kids and from Aerotoxica, was that there's enough pong to go around. And what I mean is that, these guys, both groups from the East Coast, they're coming all the way out here. They're going to be promoting their group, their band. They want to gain as many, fans as possible. And I mean, I make no mistake, when you do interviews and when you accommodate requests like this, sometimes it does take away from that. And I was just so appreciative of them spending some time, and again, they're not out here very long, but they took some time to sit with me and talk about, how they began and what their journey's been, and the fun parts of it and what's coming up. And I was just so appreciative and grateful for their time. And to me, it is, again, it's seeing Portuguese people wanting to see other Portuguese people succeed and just be positive towards one another, I guess is the best way for me to say it. I didn't get a sense on either side of either group where it was like, oh, you're interviewing the Portuguese Kids, or oh, you're interviewing Aerotoxica, or oh, you're doing this part. I mean, it's just, we're all together, man. It's a beautiful thing to be able to share this earth And I think it's a testament to our culture because as sometimes I mean we can get a little we can get a little judgmental on certain things, but I think if you're genuine and you come from a good place, I think that you reciprocate that to others as well. And to me, man, there needs to be a lot more of that going around, not just only in our Portuguese community, but the world around ourselves. So, again, I can't thank them enough. To Derek and to Zach for coordinating the interviews with me, for being as accommodating as they were. A big shout out to my wife Suzette. I mentioned that we went out to have an adult weekend without the kids, but she was my right hand lady. I will say that because she was helping me with equipment and just trying to honestly trying to calm my ass down because guys, I was nervous. These guys, when you're talking with groups that have toured the country and played in Portugal, and with the Portuguese kids gone to Australia, and with Air Toxica, performing at the IPMAs, and just being rock stars for God's sakes, that's intimidating as all hell. And my wife helped me just kind of relax, just let me know that hey, I'm gonna do great. Hopefully, I did. But she was the best, and it was a weekend that we needed for the both of us, and I was happy to have her as my assistant. There will be a review, a quarterly review at the end of June, but I think she'll pass with flying colors. So a big thanks to my wife for helping me out with that. So. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the Celeste Song podcast. Obviously, not a lot of Celeste Song stuff going on in the episode, but just again a little change of pace, a little breath of fresh air to get more of you exposed to aspects of our Portuguese American culture here in the States. By all means, if you liked it, great. If you didn't, guess what? We have UEFA Nations League semifinals coming up in June, and we will definitely be all over that when Fernando Sanches reveals his roster, and then we will be previewing the semifinal against Switzerland, and then hopefully previewing the final and celebrating a final win on Portuguese soil in Port. So let me get some plugs once again out and about. First, let's go with the Portuguese Kids, PortugueseKids.com for all your information about tours. ShopPortuguese.com. That's their store. Again, a big thanks to Derek, Al, and Brian. And of course, Aerotoxica. Aerotoxica.com. Facebook.com/Aerotoxica. Again, tour dates, bios. Go on iTunes, go on Spotify for their music. It's great, great music. And a big shout out, honestly, as you heard in the interview, there was a song that I told them that I enjoyed. It was the first time that I was like, okay, this band is the you know what. I mean, they are just here to rock my face off. When they played Poeta in Artesia, I was instantly hooked. I told them that in the interview, as you guys heard. Not only did they play it at the festival, but they shouted out the podcast. They shouted out me, and honestly, I was walking with no voice, obviously, but I was walking. My chest was out. I was just letting everybody know that that was me. And again, you guys made a very happy little boy feel like a million bucks. So again, thank you guys for that. Thank you, Bethany, Chris, Mike, Sergio, and Zach. For a great day and a great night, and I hope you guys all travel safe back to the East Coast. So, again, go to SlissOnPod.com for the latest information on the site. Facebook.com/SlissOnPod, @SlissOnPod on Twitter and on Instagram. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and Stitcher. Just search The Celeste Song Pod, and we will be joining you guys soon. As I mentioned, just in about another month and a half or so, we will be looking square into the UEFA Nations League semifinal as Fernando Sanches will be announcing his roster probably in late May for the semifinal on June 5th. And then, as I mentioned, hopefully the final on June 9th. So that will do it for this special edition of the Slesong Podcast. I hope you guys had a lot of fun. I know I did, getting these interviews and getting to experience, talking to some major stars, man, because that's exactly who they are. So Força Portuguese Kids, Força Aerotóxica, and of course, Força Portugal!
This one's going out to Danny from Slesong Podcast. Where are you at, Danny?